This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, because I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, because of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am loved. Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
So here we are again with the Sue Freeze Show, and I'm just so thankful to be with you today. And I just want to ask you if you could pray for me. I've got some medical issues coming up, nothing very serious, but just medical issues. And I just ask that you pray for healing, quick healing, and for little pain would be great. I would love that. So I said last week that I was going to talk to you about personal self-improvement and personal empowerment. Again, I want to just continue on because there is so much to talk about here. I see so many women and men that just have a poor self-image of who they are. And I just think that we need to focus on this for a little while because we have this message, this voice in our heads that's telling us that we're unworthy and that we just don't really belong, or we don't fit, or we're not good enough, and all of these things that we hear either from outside sources or our inner voice. And I just want to tell you that we really need to be focused on what God says, don't we? We need to understand that, you know, that He sent His Son to die for us on the cross, to sacrifice for who we are. Now, if we weren't valuable, if we didn't have value, why would God do that? Why would God send His only Son to die in our place, to take all our sin away? Because, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God, don't we? We all make mistakes along the way, and we can beat ourselves up, and we can just tell ourselves that we're unworthy and not forgive. Or we can understand that God's grace is sufficient for us. What are you doing? What is the self-talk that you have inside your mind, inside your mouth? You know, what are you saying out of your mouth? I capture those words. You know, hold yourself accountable to the words you speak over yourself and to others, but to yourself. So today I'm going to continue on with personal empowerment, because in order for us to really live out God's purpose, we have to understand who we are in Christ. We have to understand the value He placed on our heads and our hearts. He created us for a specific purpose so that we can be all we can be for Him and for His glory. So personal empowerment is about looking at who you are and becoming more aware of yourself as a unique individual. And you are unique. You know that, right? There's not two of you walking around on this earth. You might have somebody that looks a little bit like you, but it's like snowflake. They're individual. And you are individual. And you don't have to beat yourself up if you can't do this or you don't feel good about that. You need to understand what you're good at. You need to understand what you can do. Because when you do that, you're going to live a better, more fulfilled life on this earth. And you're going to fulfill the purpose He created you for. Personal empowerment involves developing the confidence and strength to set realistic goals and fulfill your potential. Everyone has strengths and weaknesses and a range of skills that are used in everyday situations. But all too often, people remain unaware of or undervalue their true abilities. Do you feel that you're doing all you can in whatever, wherever you are in life, whatever you're doing, whatever you put your hand to, whatever you put your foot to, whatever you put your mind to, your heart to? Are you giving it your all? Are you blooming where you're planted? Are you doing that? Because we're supposed to, we're called to give it all for Him. So when somebody does halfway, in my business, I will tell you that I have some employees that do minimal what they can do just to get through the day. They're coming in, they're going out, and they're just going through the process. But they're really not looking for opportunities to do more or be better. And then I have other employees that just are my stars. They're the stars. They're the ones that shine because their attitude is one of gratefulness, number one. Their attitudes are one of, how can I help? How can I serve? Putting others before themselves, looking at customers' responsibility or the customer's needs, and trying to find a way to fill it, trying to find a way to make it right. We've all come in contact with people of both types, right? And you have to assess your own situation. In your marriage, ask yourself, are you giving it your all? Maybe it's a lack of knowledge. Maybe you just don't have the tools. Maybe you don't have the skills right now. So maybe you need to get a counselor. Maybe you need to go to a church function and understand, you know, one of those weekend seminars. Maybe that's what you need to do for your marriage. And it's not about focusing on the other person, is it? It's about focusing on yourself and what you contribute. What's your part in this puzzle? What's your part in this play? You know, what are you contributing? What are you doing that's plus? And what are you doing that's minus? I've read books where they talk about the bank account and how are you depositing or withdrawing in your relationships. You are the best to answer these questions, but you have to be real, you have to be honest, and sometimes the truth hurts. But when you evaluate this, if your desire and your goal is that you want better for yourself and for those that you come in contact with, then it would make sense you'd take the time and you'd put the effort in, wouldn't it? I would think so. A person aiming for empowerment is able to take control of their life by making positive choices and setting goals. Developing self-awareness, an understanding of your strengths and weaknesses, knowing your own limitation is key to personal empowerment. Taking steps to set and achieve goals, both short and longer term, and developing new skills acts to increase confidence, which in itself is essential to self-empowerment. Those little small victories. They become big victories, right? What is personal empowerment? At a basic level, the term empowerment simply means becoming powerful. Building personal empowerment involves reflecting on our personal values, skills, and goals, and being prepared to adjust our behavior in order to achieve our goals. Personal empowerment also means being aware that other people have their own set of values and goals, which may differ to ours. Take control of your circumstances and achieve your own goals for your personal and working life. Become more aware of their strengths. This is what people do when they really want to be empowered. Are you doing these things? Become more aware of your strengths and weaknesses and be better equipped to deal with problems and achieve goals. Enhance the contribution you make, both as an individual and as a member of a team. Take opportunities to enhance personal growth and sense of fulfillment. How do you do that? Enhance personal growth. What are some things that you can do to enhance your personal growth? I think that when we're in counseling sessions and we talk, the counselor is saying, so what do you mean by that? Or how do you feel? Or how does that make you feel? And once we get in touch with the feeling that happens, I am finding that when I talk to people, that a lot of the times it has to do with our belief system. I had a guest recently and she was talking about that, her belief system, who she thought she was, her self-worth. What she believed allowed her to receive less than satisfactory conditions. And isn't that true for a lot of us? If we believe we're unworthy, if we believe that we don't deserve anything better, then we're going to accept whatever's thrown our way. We're going to have unhealthy boundaries. And really, if we think about who we are in Christ, that's not what He is longing or desiring for us. And it's not what He died for. He didn't die for us to be abused, to be thought of or treated less than, to have a feeling of unworthiness. Because He loved us so much, He died for us. So where's the disconnect? Is it on His side or is it on ours? So our belief system, who we believe we are, is so vitally important to our future and those that we serve, those that we come in contact with, and those appointments that He's set up for us. If we're not in a position to set ourselves in the right light, the appointment that He needs us for is not going to happen because we're not going to be where we need to be in order for that to be fulfilled. So do we have an obligation? I think we do. I think we have an obligation to be all we're supposed to be according to Christ. And so reading His word, understanding who we are in Him, If you need some help in this department, I've created a website that has some help in this. If you want to go to SueFree, spelt like fries, one word, .com, you can go there, and the second button is the new I Ams. And what it is affirmations. It's who Christ says you are, but it's in a manner, it's video, so it walks you through the process. And what it does is it helps you read the I Ams from your voice, and you can get it by MP3 or a CD. It can be sent to you. And when you do this, you listen to it every day, and it's proven that you can be restored and renewed by reading scriptures of truth over your life, that your brain and your soul hears your voice better than if you're listening to somebody else in audio, that your voice permeates your heart so much deeper and your mind deeper than somebody else talking to you. When you're in counseling or you're in a group setting and you're talking about things, you're hearing your voice. You're hearing you talking. And sometimes it's not about the other person at all. It's about you hearing you and what you're saying. And it's amazing what can happen. There can be a trigger. There can be this little change in our mindset just by listening to the words that come out of our mouths. If we're paying attention and if we ask the Lord to help us with discernment, we definitely can get some new understanding of how we think about ourselves, our belief system, our thought process that can help us with our future. Developing personal empowerment usually involves making some fundamental changes in life, which is not always an easy process, is it? The degree of change required will differ from person to person depending on the individual starting point. We're not all in the same place at the same time. We all have different battles to fight, but we are victorious. And that's the good news, is the Lord says that we are victorious because he already won the battle for us. He fought the battle, and he's won the battle for us. So the circumstances that we're facing, if we go into battle and we're thinking we're defeated already, that we've lost, even when we're in the midst of our battle, if our belief system is saying we're not going to win this one, chances are you are going to feel defeated. But if you go into any battle, any circumstance that you have, and you realize, and your belief system is that the Lord came before us and the battle is won, and you, my sister, my brother, are victorious, it changes the mindset of how we move forward. It changes our attitude. It changes our posture. It changes our demeanor inside of our being, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Can't we? We need to believe that, though. If we don't believe it and we believe we're defeated, guess what? You're going to be defeated. Even when the Lord says you can do all things through him. And even when the Lord says that you're victorious in Jesus' name. If you believe that you don't deserve more or you don't deserve better, your belief system can cause you to not get where you're supposed to go. If you understand that and you grasp that, if that's not motivation enough for you to change, I don't know what else to say. I really don't. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And this is so serious because I've lived this, and I can tell you that I was in this where I felt unworthy. I felt unworthy to receive God's love. I felt unworthy because of decisions and choices I had made a long time ago, and I beat myself up. And I can tell you that, you know what? God's grace is sufficient for you. And God's grace is sufficient for me. That word grace is so amazing, it makes me cry. It so does, because without it, I just feel so small. I don't know about you, but I just feel, it just doesn't feel good. But to know that his grace is covering us, it just covers us like a white blanket. And then it doesn't matter where we've been. He wants our future to be better than our past. I want your future to be better than your past. No matter what your past was and how good it was, I want your future to be even better. So how do we become familiar with our big self? We can dive into our big self, our own power, by going beyond the surface level of the mind. Research shows that profound physiological changes take place while we meditate, including a fourth major state of consciousness characterized by restful alertness. Restful alertness. What does that mean? I have time. I don't know about you, but it's difficult sometimes for me to be in a peaceful, restful state. Unless I'm like, you know, I need sleep today. I need to get some sleep. But just to be in a restful alertness place, it's being at one, it's being in peaceful situation. If you go to your happy place, if you go to a place, I was in this one real estate conference and they were talking about meditation and, you know, having a blindfold over your eyes to give you complete darkness. So no light comes through your eyelids and you have headphones on that are playing some peaceful, just background instruments. And that you're supposed to just take 10 minutes in the middle of your day to where you're just totally in a comfortable situation, sitting in your chair, leaning back, feet up maybe, and you just kind of breathe in, breathe out, listen to your breathing, and you go to this place that is the most peaceful place you can think of. Mine was at the ocean, and I'm not really that fond of the ocean, but my son one time asked me to go early in the morning so he could surf. And so I went, and it was before the sun came up, and I just remember how peaceful it was, even though it was chilly. I remember how peaceful it was and that I just felt so close to God at that moment. And so I have made that my place. On that, smell the ocean breeze, sun hasn't come up yet, it's just peeking up, it's just starting, and the sound of the waves crashing on the shore. And I just felt his presence so strong, and I just made that my peaceful place. And we are told in this seminar that we're supposed to go there daily if you go there. And it does something to your brain to where it opens up your thought process. Now, I find that I can do this when I first wake up in the morning or before I'm going to sleep and I'm thinking about the day and I'm trying to index the things that need to get done the next day. And I need to put it to bed so I can get some restful sleep. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been in this situation? I'm in this daily because of the busyness that I faced in trying to get things done. But I find that it's so restful to take this little time. It's just a little break. Restful alertness. It's where your body is resting, but you're alert in your brain. And it's opening up that thought process to new things. It's really amazing how it works. People who meditate often remark that they become more in control of their lives and are less tossed about by outer circumstances. They become less reactive, and in time they start to feel that situations and circumstances are supporting them rather than always being against them. This is true self-empowerment, empowered within from the deepest level of our being. I believe also, my belief system is that when we feel that we are at one with the Lord, if we feel his presence and we feel the Holy Spirit, when I'm in worship, have you ever experienced this in worship where you just feel him, you feel his presence, and it just gives you a calm and a peace over your body, and you just smile and you have this warmth just knowing that he's near. He's always near, but there's times when you can feel his presence so much more than other times. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and you're smiling, you're going, yes, it's the most wonderful, sweet, sweet, sweet spirit of any time. And others of you are saying, I want that. I want to experience that. I've never experienced that before. How do I get that? If that's you, I've kind of explained the process, and it's a matter of just slowing down to a very calm place and a peaceful place to where you can really just ask his presence to be known. Just ask him in. And just ask him to just show you his presence. And the Holy Spirit will come in and you will feel his presence and it'll just come over you. It's really good to do this daily. In the Bible it talks about praying without ceasing. I'm thinking about my Heavenly Father all day long, but there's things that come and get in the way, distractions. They're just distractions, whether it's a baby, you know, pulling on your pant leg or, you know, just whatever, an employee who needs your attention or a customer that's needing something or just the gamut. You know, it could be anything and everything. But everything tries to take you away from his presence. And we can get so busy in day-to-day life that we forget or we just put it on hold. And the things that are most important, we need to make a priority, don't we? There are many valuable organizations today working to help people, particularly young girls, become self-empowered through education. This is very important. However, To truly empower everyone everywhere, we have to give them the experience of their deepest self, their own essential nature. When anchored to this level, they can live life without being a football to outer circumstances. They will have much more inner fortitude to live by choice, to make changes, to be motivated, and to excel. When we are calm and silent inside, it's easier to hear and be guided by those quiet whispers within. The third part of the phrase self-empowerment is meant. Everyone is meant, meaning M-E-A-N-T, to be in the power of the self and be able to enjoy life to its maximum, because the self is a state of all-powerful love, truth, and bliss. By empowering ourselves, we can effectively deal with challenging situations that may arise around us and gain the ability to uplift and help our loved ones. Let's all choose to be me and become truly self-empowered. Choose to be me. That's all you're supposed to be, right? You're not supposed to be someone else. God created you for a specific purpose, to be you, to be unique in how he created you to be. The following dimensions of personal empowerment are based on the belief that the greater of range of coping responses in an individual develops, the greater their chance of coping effectively with diverse life situations. These dimensions are self-awareness. Self-awareness involves understanding our individual character and how we are likely to respond to situations. This enables us to build on our positive qualities and be aware of any negative traits which may reduce our effectiveness. Self-aware people make conscious decisions to enhance their lives whenever possible, learning from past experiences. That is so true. We need to learn from our past. We don't need to stay there. We need to learn from it and move on. If we've done some bad things, if we've chosen some wrong choices, then we have God's grace, we have God's forgiveness, and we need to forgive ourselves and give ourselves grace and move on. Values. Values are opinions or beliefs that are important to us, but of which we are not always aware. They can be any kind of belief or perceived obligation, anything we prefer and for any reason. The reasons we may prefer one thing over another or choose one course of action over another may not always be obvious or known. There may be no apparent reason for our values. Nevertheless, our values are important to us as individuals. In order to be self-aware, it is necessary to be aware of our values, to critically examine them, and to accept that our values may be different from those of others. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show right after this brief break.
Hi, Sue Freeze, the termite lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
When you or someone you love has been diagnosed with a serious illness like cancer, the first thing you want to do is stop the disease. Unfortunately, after many attempts with conventional medicine, some of you will have no success. Where do you turn next? At Orange Coast Medical Center of Hope, serious diseases like cancer are managed through natural methods. Through integrative cancer care, Dr. Nizami can help patients with terminal disease. Some patients who haven't responded to chemotherapy do respond to Dr. Nizami's treatments with better quality of life. Some will even be able to tolerate chemotherapy and radiation better. Even in the latest stages of the disease, you can still get results with alternative therapies. Dr. Nizami uses cutting-edge medicine, genetic modifications, and metabolic treatments for cancer. So if you or someone you love is ill and your doctor tells you there's no hope, call Orange Coast Medical Center of Hope today at 949-515-4673, 949-515-4673, or online at allcancercare.com.
Here they come.
Lily!
Ants, roaches, termites, even bedbugs, besieging our house, searching for food and water while escaping the heat.
All right, troops, we go in here.
The tiniest crack in a foundation or window seal gives them unlimited access to the walls of your home, the moisture in your bathrooms, the food in your pantry. So before they set up camp, stop them with Ecola's highly effective, family-friendly, natural methods.
Hi, this is Sue Freeze, the owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Call us for an inspection so we can determine the best method of eradicating pests in your home and keeping them away. First-time customers get $50 off your initial. Call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. That's 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Or log on to termitelady.com. That's termitelady.com. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly.
You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show.
Thank you, Ecola Termite Pest Management Services, for sponsoring this show. If you need any pest or termite work, please give us a call. We'll be able to take care of you. And, you know, we'll come do a free inspection for termites. And if we don't have anything, we'll let you know that. And if you have something, we'll listen to your needs, and we will individualize the best solution for you. So call us today. And Learning to Breathe is a book I wrote, and I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity, even though the circumstances were less than fun. You know, it's okay. The purpose and the reason that it happened, I think, was to write the book. And so it's available. Go to Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com, and you can get the book there. It's called Learning to Breathe. It's on asthma, respiratory issues, and just kind of a portion of a life story and a journey that I had with my son, who's now 33, and he's a wonderful guy. So I left off on self-awareness, values, and the next one is skills. An individual's skills are the main resource which enables them to achieve their desired goals. So you have skills, individual skills that God put in there. They're there. They're innate in you, okay? I have two children, and they're very different. One's male, one's female. They're different in that regard. But they're also different in what's important to them and their values and just, you know, their skill sets. You know, one is very artistic, one is very literal. They're like totally different, but they're from the same mom and dad. So it's amazing, but it just shows you that God had a purpose. He designed each one of my children just as he designed you and your children for a purpose. And so we as parents, we need to help our children grow up and live out whatever those skill sets are. And you know, because it's when your kids are really they're just excelling in whatever it is they're doing, whether it's athletics, whether it's math, whether it's science, history, whatever it is that they excel at, that is an indicator. Mine was, my daughter was art. She just loved art. So she became an artist and a teacher. You know, so it's just amazing to watch. At a very young age, you can kind of see where their bin is. Information, knowledge, or information is necessary in the development of self-awareness and skills. It is an essential skill in itself to know where to find appropriate information. Without information, the choices open to people are limited, both in their personal and working lives. The internet has provided an easy way for everybody to access huge amounts of information very quickly and easily. The problem is then centered around the quality of the information found, and the skill set is concerned with finding accurate and reliable information. Goals. Setting goals is a means by which an individual can take charge of his or her life. The process of setting a goal involves people thinking about their values and the direction that they would like their lives to follow. Choices are made through reflection, followed by action. Goals should always be both specific and realistic. Setting personal goals gives us a sense of direction in life. This direction is essential to personal empowerment. Goals are so important. People will say to me all the time, you know, how do you get what you get done in a day? And I would say it's prioritizing, it's goal setting, it's setting something. I always shoot my mark higher than where I really believe I can make it, because I'm just me. And that's not letting God do what God does. So I set my goals high. I think of it like a triangle. I learned this a long time ago as a salesperson when I worked for another organization. And the speaker came up and he had a triangle and he said, most salespeople, and he put a line about three quarters of the way up, they shoot for this line right here.
And where they come, where they actually reach, is an inch or 2 inches below that line. So we want to shoot higher than that so that we can reach the goal that we're really trying to reach. I never forgot that, obviously, because here I am repeating it to you, is that I never forgot that because it impacted me. Because we shoot too low. I would say most people shoot too low. And we need to shoot high. We need to aim high. Because we got to understand that God's in the equation. It's not all about us, is it? So whenever you're doing anything, if you think you can make it to this point, raise it an inch higher if you're drawing something. Just add an inch. And whatever the formula is, whatever your numbers are, whatever it is, just aim higher than what you think. Because aren't we supposed to strive for excellence in everything we do? And it's not for our welfare. It's not for us. It's for God. We should be giving Him our best. Churches, drama teams, worship teams, in business, at home. We need to be giving God our best. Are we? If you don't hear anything else, I think that would probably be the biggest message of the day. Empowering verses from the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah 43:1, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jeremiah 26:14, but as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Isn't that amazing that the God of all creation has given us his word that we can look at and turn to every day? Isn't that amazing that he's given us that? And this scripture is one that I'm really leaning on, Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I love that word, hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Empowering words from Psalms. Psalms 37:4-5, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. It says that he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you know what your desires are in your heart? Write them down. What are the desires of your heart? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So we have to define what's delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? Do you know? For you? What does it mean for you? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I don't know about you, but I want my desires of my heart. I want that. So I need to delight in the Lord. I would think for me it means to put him first and to believe in his word, be in his word, because that does bring delight, doesn't it? To know who you are in Christ. Doesn't that, it delights me to know who I am. Does it delight you to know who you are, that you're valued? Psalm 37:23-24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I love scripture. I just love scripture because it just brings such strength. 1 Peter 5:6-9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. May the Lord minister to you through his written word. May you fall in love with the Bible and treasure it and seek to live for him all the days of your life. Maybe you came to this show today to find hope, to find inspiration. It's a great thing, God's word. Some think it's a book of rules and do's and don'ts. It is far from that. The Bible is a love letter written to us from God in which he says, I love you. I will never give up on you. I will never forget you. I care so much about you. Embrace his love today and begin a new or renewed life of living for Him. Can you do that? I hope you can. I have some quotes I want to share with you in Facebook. People will tell me that they just love my quotes. They say that I post a lot of quotes. And I say, take what you want, leave the rest. Isn't that a life lesson right there, right? No matter what's going on in your life, you know, you're going to get a lot coming at you. Whenever I go to a seminar, I look for that golden nugget. It might be one in an 8-hour period, but it's a golden nugget. It could change my life forever. And isn't that true with all of us? But we have to make aware that we're looking for that and have expectation to that golden nugget. Lord, what do you want me to learn today? Where do you want me to sit today? Who do you want me to serve today? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to learn? These are questions that you can ask Him, and He will reveal Himself to you. He does to me. And I have to believe it's the same God. My God, your God. So, quotes. How would your life be different if you stopped allowing other people to dilute or poison your day with their words or opinions? Let today be the day. You stand strong in the truth of your beauty and journey through your day without attachment to the validation of others. This was written by Steve Maraboli, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. Your life is your life. And, you know, you've been through a lot. I'm sure we all have our stories. And how you look at your life and your belief system for your life is your future. So you need to understand that maybe you need to change the way you're thinking, stinking thinking maybe. You need to change that and put something better in there, okay? You need to have something better. So here's some quotes that I have. And if you're just tuning in right now, I just want you to know that you're listening to The Sue Free Show. And I'm so thankful that you've joined me today. And if you want to connect with me, I would hope that you would do that. How do you do that? You go to SueFree, spelt like fries, one word, .com. Go there, connect with me. Let me know how you're thinking. If you need prayer, if you need some type of resource, I might be able to help you. I'll do my best. That I give you my word for. I have a couple of books available. I have the IMs available to you. I just want to help any way I can. So some quotes. The only person you should try to be better than is the person you were yesterday. We're not in competition with each other, are we? You know, in gymnastics, I remember we were part of a team. What I liked about the team is that I had a personal score and I had a team score. I had a part to play in the team score. I was really trying to do the best I could, be the best I could. You know, I practiced as much as I could so that I could give my best for the team. And I was in competition against my last score. And aren't we all? Being strong doesn't always mean you have to fight the battle. True strength is being adult enough to walk away from the nonsense with your head held high. I love that. We can walk away. We don't have to engage in something if we don't really feel it's necessary. There are times when I have to stand up and fight, and there's other times that I can walk away, and so can you. The strongest source of empowerment is that which we find within ourselves. Fall 7 times, stand up 8. I tell my sales team all the time that every no brings you that much closer to a yes. Because, you know, those no's can really get you down, can't they? If you're a salesperson, if you're trying to get a job and people are just turning you down right and left, you just need to understand in your attitude that you're that much closer to a yes. So just keep on keeping on, get back up again, brush yourself off. It's okay. You know, tomorrow's another day. The next hour is another hour. For things to change, you have to change. In capital letters, the word you. You have to change. If you want things to change, you have to change. Look at the person in the mirror and start there. Assess yourself, identify what the issues are, and make some changes. And you know what? You don't have to tackle them all at once because believe me, there's more than one. There is, for all of us. There's more than one thing that we need to really work on. But focus on one. You know, don't overwhelm yourself with multiples. Just stick with one, you know, and work on the one. The first step towards getting somewhere is to decide that you are not going to stay where you are. I like that. And we want to take that first step, don't we? I know I do. I want to take that first step and I want to keep going. Oh, and I want that for you. So I'm going to read from my favorite book, Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence, Sarah Young. And it says this: I am all around you like a cocoon of light. My presence with you is a promise, independent of your awareness of me. Many things can block this awareness, but the major culprit is worry. My children tend to accept worry as an inescapable fact of life. However, worry is a form of unbelief. It is an anathema to me. Who is in charge of your life? If it is you, then you have good reason to worry. But since I am in charge, worry is both unnecessary and counterproductive. When you start to feel anxious about something, relinquish the situation to me. Back off a bit, redirecting your focus to me. I will either take care of the problem myself or show you how to handle it. In this world, you will have problems, but you need not lose sight of me. And here's a big scripture, probably the longest one I've ever seen in this book. So are you ready? It's Luke 12, 22 through 31. I'm going to read it. You ready? Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? O, you of little faith! And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. So all of that, he's saying he's going to take care of you, and all he's asking you to do is to seek his kingdom, and he will give you all of those things. He gives you even the answer. He gives you what to do so that you can have these things and not be anxious. Just seek his kingdom. And the other verse is John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So he's telling you, you know, it's not like you're going to have this great life with no troubles. We all are going to have troubles. Alert, newsflash, we're all going to have troubles. The difference is that God has us. He has us, and he's going to take care of us. And even in our struggles, in the storms, we just need to believe that he's got us. He's got you, he's got me, and he's going to make sure that everything works out. And not always in our timing, which is kind of a drag, I know. It is. It's kind of a drag that, you know, he just can't fix it right here, right now. And I ask him, have you asked him, you know, why? Why, God, why are you waiting? You know, why, you know, can you just come in and fix this right now? Sometimes it's a lesson. There's a lesson that we need to learn. And my prayer is that we pray, Lord, show us what we need to learn so we can move on. Okay? We need to just learn the lesson. What is the lesson that we need to learn? And he'll show us. He'll reveal it to us. We just have to ask. So moving forward, we, you know, another week is going to go by, and It's getting into the middle of the summer. And I have to tell you that, you know, in the summer, I can remember when my kids were younger. They're not younger now. But I was always thinking, okay, what am I going to do with them? Where am I going to take them? How am I going to keep them occupied? It's such a trying time, you know, other than the norm when they're in school. But it is a special time. Vacation time is a special time. And I will tell you that some of us financially don't have the means to go away on an expensive vacation. But it's not the expensive vacation that really matters. It's spending time with your family. And it doesn't matter if you're going to go to a park, if you're going to go tent it, you know, go to the beach. Anything you do where you can spend time with your family. And, you know, even in the trials, I mean, we had some funniest times when something would break down or this would happen. And those are the times later on in life that we laughed about, which during the time, like one time we camped out and we were on top of an anthill. And we woke up and the ants, I am not kidding you, were in our sleeping bags and all crawling all up and down. I felt so bad being in the pest control business that I wouldn't know any better. It was kind of ironic if you think about it. But it wasn't funny at the time. I was worried about my kids getting bit and stung and whatever. And we had to hurry up and wake up and we had to shake everything off. And, you know, we were screaming a little bit and just like, oh my gosh, and running around like, do you get the picture? It was kind of a picture. It was funny. And there were people in other campsites that were going, what is going on with that family over there? But we all had ants in our pants. We all had ants everywhere. And we were trying to shake them off. And during the time, we were like, oh my gosh, this is a horrible thing, right? Right at that moment. But later, it's been one of the funniest memories we've had is remembering, do you remember the time when... So those times, I know some of you can relate to this, is that, you know, you're during the time, one time with our boat, we ran into a log and our boat almost sunk and we had to hurry up and paddle to the shore because if not, we were going to lose the boat and we were going to be in the water. And oh my gosh, it was a horrible time. But later we talk about that, how we worked together as a team to get the boat from here to there and how we all worked together. It was amazing. And how everybody just like knew what to do. Like within a heartbeat, we all like became a team. And before that, we might have been fighting or arguing about something, whatever. Just fun times. And just learning how to do things together where it's, you know, whether you're learning how to swim or just any of those fun things, learning how to pop, you know, blow bubbles, you know, just anything. It's just really a fun time. Going fishing doesn't cost a whole lot. You know, we can find things to do. Playing yard darts is fun. Croquet, it's fun. Playing cards as a family. These are fun things in cards. I mean, how much does it cost for a deck of cards? And we were the card family. We played cards and we'd invite people over and we play cards. We have this fun game that's just so much fun. And a family taught us the game. The Tars taught us this game. And then we've shared it with so many people. And it became kind of our thing to do as a family. And it's a fast game and we're in competition and we keep score. And it's kind of fun. And I think my daughter has beat me now. And I've got to work harder and practice more and get back to be in the game more. So vacation time, be thinking about that, you know, maybe it's bike riding, maybe it's skateboarding, maybe it's roller skating. Just be careful out there. Some crazy people out there and you don't want to get injured, but take this time to just enjoy each other. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Make a picnic lunch and just go to the park and feed the ducks. That's fun too. You know, do cartwheels and handstands, see who can do the most and, you know, kicking a ball around, whatever you need to do, just make some family time for each other. And sometimes, you know, we just get so busy in our busy day that we just don't take that time for each other. And quality time is one of those love languages and we can't get the time back. Take it from me. I mean, my kids are grown now and I'm looking forward to when they get married and they have children and grandkids so I can spoil them rotten. But in the meantime, just take time for each other, be there for one another, love one another, don't judge, love. God bless you and be a servant and be a blessing. Until next week. Bye.
This has been the Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS.
No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.